Chris, I just wanted to start off with a reflection just to re-emphasise how important MMO regards UK fisheries.
So, regional fisheries groups, we know they're not perfect, but we are starting to see the benefit. We just wanted to get on and do them, and we knew that we'd just find our feet as we went along.
From our perspective, we need to continue to promote, facilitate and demonstrate the traceability of our catch. And by that I mean that we can trace fish from the point of catching through landing to the point of sale and export.
In the last 9 months, we've approved 364 projects totaling 3.8 million. So again, you know, real great appetite for the sector to access and support in order to kind of grow and build their businesses.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Fathom Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Chris Ramford, from the Cornish Fish Producers Organisation. And we are getting nearer to the end of this second series of the podcast, but there's plenty more to follow, especially with the NFFO collaboration episodes that we've now started. So keep tuned in as we roll through into the spring of 2022. Anyway, in this episode, we catch up with the senior team at the Marine Management Organisation. And over the past couple of years, the Fathom Podcast has welcomed on the MMO several times to offer some important updates to the industry. So casting my mind back to the summer of 2020, where we had all of the COVID lockdown issues, and the MMO came on then to give some really useful input, some insight on all the finance support that was available. And obviously at the end of 2020, we had them back on to discuss some of the end of year, rolling into the post-Brexit era, some really good insight from them again and some useful updates. So we thought it's been a long time since 2020, it's a good time to get the MMO back on. So we reached out to them and just to understand what work is happening, what's underway, what's the agenda for the year ahead. And true to his word, Tom McCormack, the chief exec at the MMO, responded to this request and brought along his top team to share some important updates. And just a quick note to add in here, this was actually also on the back of a visit to Cornwall. So we hosted the MMO down here in the Southwest at the end of 2021. It was a really good opportunity to get them face to face on the quayside, meeting with all parts of the supply chain, which is always good to see. Anyway, that's enough from me for this introduction. First up, we welcome on Tom McCormack, Chief Exec at the MMO, to give us a brief overview of the last 12 months and what to expect in the year ahead. So over to Tom.
Last year for everyone was another unparalleled year, and for everyone, including MMO stakeholders and customers, and very much part of that as a fisherman and fisherwoman. We continue in MMO to really understand the challenges and difficulties that face our fishing industries, and I should say opportunities as well. COVID just keeps going, and we're still really settling after the beginning of the European Union. Chris, I just wanted to start off with a reflection just to re-emphasise how important MMO regards UK fisheries. I just think that's really always an important thing to start from, that respect and that regard for its value. And its value we mean in many ways. So UK fisheries for our economy, for sure, for our food supply, and more of that, please. For local communities, and most significantly, or significantly, our history and culture as a coastal state. We just cannot emphasise how much we respect and value our UK fisheries. Thinking about the year that's just been, I could go on all day, and I'm just going to pick a few things that I hope will resonate with your listeners. We've continued to do that thing we talked about last time, Chris, which was to make MMO an even more outward-looking, engaging, outcome-focused organisation. And I hope that's felt by industry. We do lots of things, not least of which where all of our coastal teams have stayed open, as it were, through COVID. We call it MMO Outdoors. So we've stayed open. We've been out at sea. We've been at the coastline, we've been at the quayside, but we've done an awful lot of outreach as well. And I hope things like the Friday Bulletin has helped kind of to signal what's coming and how fishermen can be involved. Last year, over the last year and a bit, we've launched 5 different funding schemes, including, as you know, some emergency response funds I'm not going to steal any of Michelle's thunder, but she's going to talk about those. But I also just wanted to draw out that we also launched two brand new fisheries service, the Fish Export Service and the UK Single Issuing Authority, brand new services to help us to navigate our way through life after Europe and continue to operate. Exports continuing, and the Fish Export Service, you know, we've issued something like 50-odd thousand catch certificates to date, Chris, which really astounded me. And Michael's going to talk a little about some of our modernisation and data collection pieces. But last time I looked, over 140,000 catches had been recorded on the Catch app, and more of that. So we're going to continue to engage, as I say, right? But the big thing we're here to talk about is how we're trying to extend that engagement. And thank you for hosting in November, where myself and the senior leadership team in MMO, along with Tony Delahunty, one of our board members, we spent 3 days in Cornwall. And I'll talk a wee bit about that. But really the idea is, if we're going to support fisheries, if we're going to help fisheries to thrive, we absolutely need to think international and nationally, but we also have to think locally and regionally. And the big idea about the Cornwall visit was an intensive 3 days where we saw from catch all the way through to processing, and so many interesting things in between that actually national is really, really important. But every locale and every region is its own as well. I want to think like that too.
Thanks for that insight, Tom. And with that, let's move on to more local matters now and catch up with Richard Hoskin, Head of Fisheries Management and Marine Conservation. Richard gives us some detail on the development and progress of the regional fisheries group meetings, how to get involved, what they entail, and how they feed into national issues. So over to you, Richard.
So regional fisheries groups, just a reminder that these came out of the Future of Inshore Fisheries, the initiative and the conference, and were fully supported also by the National Inshore Group. There's five of them. They started last year. And there's three things that I'd really like to say about them. Firstly, just to remind everybody what the purpose of them is. And that is very much to bring together at a regional level fishers with relevant representatives of DEFRA, the MMO, IFCAS, and CFAS to actually discuss issues of mutual interest. That might be catch limits, it might be new policy development, but it's also about identifying opportunities and where we might work together to actually realise those opportunities, but also to discuss issues at the regional level. And again, how can we jointly tackle those issues? So that's the purpose. The second thing I was just going to stress is we know they're not perfect, but we are starting to see the benefits. We just wanted to get on and do them. And we knew that we'd just find our feet as we went along. So there were issues and still are issues about numbers at some of the regional fisheries groups. But I'm pleased to say those numbers are improving. But we have got more to do to make sure that each regional fisheries group has a representative mix of the different catching sectors that make up that region. So we are working with IFCA colleagues and others to make sure that they are previous people and giving them the opportunity to participate. Secondly, we need to start to make sure everything isn't just focused around the meeting itself, but actually be engaging between meetings. So again, when we do come together, we're making the best use of the time where we come together. So it's not about a download. Those downloads can be happening in between meetings. So again, something we need to be improving on. And I think also just from an agenda perspective, when we kicked them off, obviously we were shaping the agendas. And again, they need to be more representative of the issues. But I'm pleased to say that, you know, the recent regional fisheries groups, we're starting to see that coming through. So there's room for improvement there, but we are definitely seeing the benefits coming through. And if I was to use the example of the Southwest one, Those meetings were built on the previous quota advisory group meetings. So we've already got good attendance, but we're already also seeing greater attendance by inshore members as well. And I think one of the real benefits that we're seeing from the regional fisheries groups was demonstrated by the fact that as a direct result of the Southwest Regional Fisheries Group, we've managed to gain funding for a population of survey of small-eyed ray, which, dependent on the results, could lead to the opening of a fishery that's currently closed. So already we start to see the benefits of the regional fisheries groups in action. And the final point I was just going to make was really keen that people get involved in the regional fisheries groups. They are going to become even more important going forward. Fisheries management plans, as they start to, more and more of those start to get rolled out, the regional fisheries groups are going to be absolutely key to inputting to those. So really a plea for people to get involved. But likewise, if people have got ideas in terms of agenda items, then feed them in. And if they've got ideas around how we can improve regional fisheries groups, then feed them in. And happily, I could provide you, Chris, with a link that maybe we can include in the podcast notes, just so that people know where they can go to see notes of previous meetings and how they can get involved. So that's all I was going to say on regional fisheries groups for now.
Thanks, Richard. That's it's a really good insight, and actually sat in, I think, on two of the regional fisheries group meetings. And certainly you've got, I can only talk from the Southwest point of view, but yeah, you certainly have the representation in there of the catch sector and all other elements really of the industry in the Southwest. And like you say, that's built on the back of a quota management group, which obviously had a good attendance and good momentum there already. But yeah, it's a good forum. I think it's a really useful way for people, for one, to just know what's happening on all aspects, whether it's from the MMO, from the IFCA, and picking up on different stories going on around the coast, different fisheries. Everybody just seems to be better aware, at least, about everybody's challenges. As much as challenges, you've got ideas, potential solutions in there. Like you say, there's some possible wins that we can move to quite quickly, whether it's certain species, like you mentioned, small-eyed rays, like get them out in the open, see if it's a priority for people. Let's take action. Let's get on with it. So I suppose it's a good way to sort of like a consistent approach to making progress, making change.
And next up, we chat with Michael Coyle, who's the Director of Operations at the MMO. And Michael shares some updates on the rollout of both the under 10 metre catch app and inshore vessel monitoring systems. Obviously, both hot topics on the inshore sector at the moment. And I pick up on a couple of these questions towards the end of Michael's conversation. So over to Michael.
What I want to do is talk about a few priorities for the MMO going forward this year and touch upon data traceability and assurance. From our perspective, we need to continue to promote, facilitate and demonstrate the traceability of our catch. And by that, I mean that we can trace fish from the point of catching through landing to the point of sale and export. And as you know, Chris, the public is becoming quite rightly more demanding in wanting to know where the fish has come from, how it was caught, when it was caught, and whether it's from a healthy and sustainable stock. And I think we've got a really good story to tell. And a key role for the MMO is to help tell that story, but we need the data to do that. So there's a few gaps in our understanding at the moment and in our data, and I'm just going to touch upon some of the things we're doing to rectify those gaps. So firstly, I'll talk about inshore vessel monitoring systems, IVMS. We'll be introducing this as a requirement for vessels in English waters this year. And that means we can understand the vast majority of the fleet, where they actually fish. There's a number of reasons why this is essential. Firstly, we share the government's ambition of setting a gold standard for sustainable fishing around the world. And to do this, we need to understand where fishing actually takes place. Understanding where the fishing takes place will help us better manage the fishery, but more importantly, it will help us ensure that the inshore sector's activity is fully represented through things like marine spatial planning or future development of our seas. We really struggle at the moment to tell a picture about where the rich inshore fisheries are. So that will really help. And finally, as you know, there's a growing need and a growing program of management in marine protected areas and highly protected marine areas. So we need to demonstrate that fish is being caught outside of those closed areas. So the way we're doing it is that we have published four type-approved devices, and fishers will get an opportunity to choose a device throughout 2022. Rollout is being done in tranches, and we're going to start with those larger vessels between 10 and 12 metres. A grant of up to £650 will be available to support the cost and installation of IVMS devices. So we'll be writing to fishers soon in further update in terms of how this application process will work. So that's IVMS. The second thing I'll mention is under 10 meter catch reporting. Again, this is about accounting for all of the fish we take out of our waters, and we're asking those 80% of our fleet to record their catch. We've now got around 1,000 regular users of catch recording. That's about 90% of active fishers have registered, and between 65 and 70% of fishers are using the app routinely. So first of all, we'd like to thank everybody that's got behind the app and its intent. We've had a long period of engagement. It's been a license condition for 2 years, but that period has allowed us to adjust to the requirement. But we've recently announced our intent to enforce this license condition from the end of February. So, of course, we're ready to continue to support and offer assistance, but we hope that increasing regular use will have more of a level playing field, and that's fairer to those 1,000 users of the app only. So at the moment, I've talked about very much focused on maybe the smaller element of the sector, those less than 12 metres. But in terms of data and traceability, it's really important that we continue to help improve the submissions by all vessel skippers, merchants, and transporters, so that we really understand a comprehensive picture of our fishing activities. And of course, all of that data that we receive helps to facilitate and verify export catch certificates, which is really important for us to continue to facilitate trade. Finally, we're here to help, Chris. We want to help ensure traceability, as I said at the start. We have a role to help industry in demonstrating that story. So we want to facilitate compliance. So for all of those aspects, you know, the MMO is here to help and support us as we adjust.
Yeah, thanks for that, Michael, and appreciate the detail and where the MMO are coming from with this. Just to come back in and raise a couple of thoughts and issues that I've picked up from the quayside. Clearly, there's a fair few challenges out there at the moment and expectations on the inshore fleet, whether that's getting up to speed with the new MCA code, surveying, as well as moving into a more digital world with both the catch app and IVMS. I mean, it's a busy space at the moment for the smaller boats and definitely need to be aware of that. But in regards to the IVMS, obviously this is a new piece of tech. Certainly need that rollout period this year so we can test, learn, understand what issues come up as this kit goes aboard boats. Ultimately, we don't want to compromise fishing with this sort of kit. And one of the main concerns really that's coming us, if this tech stops working for whatever reason, boats don't want to be tied up whilst waiting for a person to come down and maintain it, replace it, fix it essentially. Days at sea are really precious to the inshore sector. We're already governed by the weather, sea conditions and so on. So how can we just be sure that this won't happen? I mean, I appreciate there's been a consultation period here, but is there still scope to trial and test the tech as we go through the year and give feedback to the MMO? Is there some open dialogue there to help work through any issues that come up together so we get to the place that we're trying to get to and avoid any issues once this does become enforceable and rolled out? And secondly, just to add in on that, obviously, you know, recognize there's a grant here to help people get this kit, get it on their boat, cover some of those basic setup costs. But with any technology, there's a need to replace eventually, maintain or software updates, whatever. And these costs can escalate down the line. So we just need to be really aware of that, that we don't end up in a position where they become a challenge, these costs for the inshore fleet. So again, just wanted to raise that. This is what's coming up from the quayside. Any thoughts on that? Most welcome.
Definitely, Chris. We're rolling out. The intent is to have a statutory instrument towards the end of the year, which allows us plenty of time to roll out and learn as we go. And also be very, very clear about those type of consequences and those implications and what support we can give to fishers. So we're really looking to facilitate the ability to track these vessels for a number of really good reasons. So if there are problems with the device in specific situations, you know, we need to be mindful of that, and we need to put things in place so that we can help manage that. So we're really in listening mode in terms of how we need to manage this in a proportionate way, and we will roll this out in a proportionate way.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I think that's the main thing. Is I would only encourage anyone listening from the catching sector is just to keep that dialogue going with you. Those that are going to struggle with this or feel that there's a bigger challenge here, then yeah, just get in contact as early as possible and raise any concerns. And
yeah, Chris, just to echo what Michael's saying, the key part of this is that our approach. Any change is difficult. Anything new is difficult. And as we saw on the catch up, we've had an extended period of inform and support before you go anywhere really near assure and enforce. Well, it's exactly the same with the IVMS. And Michael calls it entirely right. There's this air gap, if you like, between implementing and getting these things installed before we go anywhere near going live with any new regulations and things like that. So the big ask from us is please get involved, but please use your voice. We're going to be out and about listening, right? Please, because we want to spot what these issues might be so that we can solve them long before you switch on any new rules and regulations. So Michael calls it right on that air gap. Thank you.
That's good to hear and really reassuring. I think it's important to keep that message going out and encourage people to keep feeding in. So I'm sure, again, it's one of those things we're all learning as we go into this new world. So sounds good. And I think it's also coupled with some wider issues, non-MMO sort of area, but things with the MCA, small vessel code. There's a lot of expectation on that small inshore part of the fleet at the moment to get up to speed, get ahead of regulations, safety issues. Yeah, a lot of pressure on there. So it's probably just that wider, bigger subject as well going on in the background. So.
And lastly, we check in with Michelle Willis, Director of Finance and Resources at the MMO, and just getting up to speed with the latest finance and grant support available. Whether it's the UK Seafood Fund, Fisheries and Seafood Scheme, there's various funding opportunities for all parts of the supply chain at the moment, and lots more on the horizon. So over to Michelle to give a bit of update on this, and I'll summarise a few thoughts as we wrap up from there.
Hi, listeners. Great to be back. Quite a while, actually, since we last spoke. Summer 2020, when we were dealing with the first round of COVID and we were dealing with the Fisheries Response Fund. So actually, 18 months has been quite a long time. Five new schemes and five short schemes, five longer term schemes, but five schemes. So we have been really, really busy. It's good to kind of sit back and reflect on that, actually, because in the this time last year, we were really looking at the Seafood Disruption Fund to support those exporters who were really struggling with the end of the transition period and, you know, trying to get fish stocks across the water. But actually, the Seafood Response Fund, which actually provided that additional resilience and support to the sector during what was a really tricky time as COVID continued, and here we are now still wrestling with COVID that is. But I thought it would be really good for your listeners to hear about some of the things that we have been focusing on, which are more positive towards the longer term as we kind of move forward, really. So some of the highlights that your listeners may be aware of, but I'll focus in on, is the big one for us at the moment is get preparing for the UK Seafood Fund. Some of you all may remember that last year, as we kind of came out the end of the transition period, the government announced $100 million to the UK fund as part of government's levelling up agenda to support the long-term future and sustainability of the UK fisheries and seafood sector. Now, that's been a big piece of work over the last 12 months supporting DEFRA and colleagues with that.
and developing the thinking around that. And as you may be aware, there are three pillars to this fund across the UK: science and innovation, infrastructure, and skills and training. For MMO, we're really keen that we're involved and will be administrating the infrastructure component of the scheme, which is to provide up to 65 million towards projects that build capacity across and deliver social and economic benefits to the UK fishing and seafood industry supply chains. And that's going to include ports and harbours, processing facilities and aquaculture infrastructure. So this is big. This is going to be something that will run for 3 years because it's tied to government spending time frames. But actually, it's a really, you know, really important feature of how the UK and England strengthens its infrastructure to better build businesses for the future and businesses that can sustain into the future as we are now an independent coastal state. Just remind everyone, it's a competitive process. Applicants must bid for a grant and will receive anything between 250,000 up to 5 million for relevant projects with match funding for each of the projects. This was launched late in December, and we are in what we would call early engagement phase. So we're kind of engaging with businesses who may be looking to apply from across the UK, and we're really going to look to open for applications sort of March, April 2022. So I think that's a big one, which will be of interest to many of your listeners. The other thing that I draw on is this has been the first year of the replacement for the structural funds, which is the Fisheries and Seafood Scheme. So we launched this in March, in late sort of March, April 2021. We've been going for 9 months. This is for England only. It's aimed at securing sustainable growth across the catching, processing and aquaculture sectors. And you know, all with focuses on outcomes that protect and enhance the marine environment also. In the last 9 months, we've approved 364 projects totaling 3.8 million. So again, you know, real great appetite for the sector to access support in order to kind of grow and build their businesses. In particular, we are now in this phase where we're getting ready for the next 3 years, and we've been supporting DEFRA in the work that supports the ongoing nature of the fisheries and seafood scheme, how we can make it better, what other options there are for kind of increasing investment. And I know that they'll be speaking to some of your listeners through their stakeholder engagement in the next few weeks. So all really good news, all really positive. And we certainly get that feedback from those that we engage with. But just to say thank you to those who have applied and continue to engage with us. The team are there to support you, and it's been really great working with you all through this period over the last 24 months. It's been difficult and challenging, but lots of positive things have come from it.
Thanks, Michelle. And interestingly enough, when we had our Cornwall visit for the 3 days in November, we saw two or three really specific examples that go back over the last few years where support from the funds has really helped particular parts of the sector to thrive. I'm thinking in particular, Chris, of our visit over to Falfish in Redruth, which was just, I mean, what an operation that's evolved to. But I can say that one of the first things they said when we arrived was that the help that they'd had. So it was really good to see firsthand what's going on, the difference it makes. Thanks. Back to you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks both, Tom and Michelle. That's really good, actually. And I can only agree in terms of the funding side of things. Like you say, five programmes in however long is in a very short amount of time, just to keep on top of that and actually keep that flowing, that money flowing in and out. It's so important. It's been really welcomed. One quick thought on FAS, actually, going forward. I know the last scheme's been running for 12 months, and that's been great that we've had that support there. I know there's a lot of challenges in terms of whether it's Brexit, COVID, and getting materials ordered, supplied, boats trying to fit in with boatyards. I don't know, in the future, is there scope to maybe extend that, run it across a couple of years?
So that feedback has been heard for those kind of flexibilities, and colleagues in DEFRA are kind of thinking about how that can be best achieved. So it has been heard and it is being considered, and I think that's quite important.
Yeah, that's good to know that at least it's going in and people are picking up on it. I think all that stuff really helps as we evolve. Fishing is always unique. It doesn't really fit around a financial year, as everybody knows. So it's tricky, I know, from your side of things and fitting in with other sort of mechanisms in government and then how that translates into a fishing season or a year. It's always it's going to be some overlap and never perfect. But that would be good to pick up on. And I think Michelle touched on the MCA as well. And obviously their involvement in the grant side of things, people applying for improving the safety of vessels. And obviously there's a really important thing there. You don't want to be funding something that becomes unsafe. But I suppose front loading any of that interaction with the MCA would be good going forward as well. Just applicants need to be really aware about the whole process. But I mean, I'm sure we can iron that out as we go forward and make people aware about what's going on in that side of things. Yeah, and it would be good to know. I mean, anything else that we can feed into to add any extra bits and pieces on going forward under FAS is also good. I know there's a big chunk there for all the shore-based businesses, markets, harbours, processors. Any way we can kind of bump up the catch sector, certainly from a PO point of view, is always good as well, just to kind of get that investment. Obviously, there's a lot of expectation on the fleet at the moment in terms of MCA, new vessel codes. How do we get not to regulation, but get above and beyond it? And there's a real desire from the catch sector to be compliant and to get ahead of it. So, you know, grant support to get their requirement is good just to get them well beyond it. So, but yeah, we'll keep feeding into any future consultations that come up on future of FAS and other parts of the UK Seafood Fund. There's a lot of money around at the moment for the fishing industry. So it's just making the best use of it and making sure we get it to the right areas, the right projects, and keep working with yourselves to make that process as smooth as possible. So thanks.
Fathom was brought to you by the Cornish Fish Producers Organisation and funded by the Seafarers Charity.